Good morning, everybody. All right, parents, how many of you at some point in raising your offspring have had to restate or re-clarify something to make a point? Let's do it this way. This is where the truth will come out. Junior high and high school students in the room, how many of you have been lectured by your parents? There you go. All right. So here in Matthew 25, we have yet another example that Jesus gives to make a point. Here's the point. He has called us, he's coming back, and we'd better be ready, right? This is what we're getting from these things, right? Jesus has been going round and round with the Pharisees. And it's actually their self-righteousness that sells them out, that they have missed the point. So Jesus turns to his disciples and goes, guys, don't miss it. Don't miss what's happening here. And Jesus tells these parables. He tells one parable about a master who throws a banquet that nobody will come to because they've got other things to do. They're just too busy. Then he tells a parable about these bridesmaids who some got their stuff together and they were ready to wait for as long as it took for the groom to arrive. And then there were these other bridesmaids who took just enough and kind of didn't worry about it. And they ended up running out and leaving and missing out when the groom arrived. And then last week, we talked about how though none of us know when Jesus is coming back, what's he going to do? He's coming back, right? He's coming back. And now in the second half of Matthew 25, we have Jesus saying again, he's trying again, okay? So the way this looks is the boss man, we're gonna call him Chuck, walks into the warehouse and he calls his three shift managers, Steve, Jared, and Tony. Calls them over and says, come on guys, let's talk. He sits them down and he goes, all right, I gotta go out of town and I'm gonna arrange some international business. And so I need you guys to take care of things while I'm gone. Are you up for that? And they had worked together for a long time. Chuck knew he could trust these guys. And all of these guys were like, absolutely, yeah, no problem. So Chuck comes out in with his very professional Target bag full of money. And he goes, all right, let's see. Steve, here's $500,000. Invest it wisely. Do what you will. You got this. Steve was like, absolutely. Then Jared steps up. He goes, Jared, here's $250,000. You got this. Jared's like, absolutely. Then Tony steps up. He goes, Tony, here's $100,000. Make me proud. And they're like, okay, right? And now all of these guys felt the weight of what was being asked of them from their leader, from their boss, this guy that they respected, this guy that they wanted to make proud. Now, about 3 months later, Chuck shows back up at work. He walks into the warehouse. He's like, hey guys, come on in. And they all go and stand, and they talk back and forth a little bit, and how's the trip and things like that. And then Chuck goes, so how'd things go around here? And Steve steps up and he goes, so I took the $500,000 you gave me and I bought a small company. And it's gonna be like a subsidiary of the parent company. And already we are seeing that the return on that is double. It's amazing the profits that are coming in. And Chuck's like, dude, yes, good job. That's I knew I could count on you. You know what? Looks like you're ready for that promotion. Head on into the office, grab some coffee. I'll be in a minute, we'll talk. Then Steve steps up and Steve goes, okay, so while you were gone, I bought some new machinery. This machinery is going to double our output and it's already doubled the profit for the business. And Chuck's like, yes! Steve, I knew I made the right choice. I knew you wouldn't let me down. You handled that so well. You know what? You're ready for some more. And so head on into the office, grab some coffee. I'll be in a minute. Then Tony steps up, pretty nervous and sweaty at this point. And he takes $100,000 and just puts it on the table in front of his boss. And Chuck's like, what, and why does it smell like cheap coffee? And Tony goes, well, okay, here's the thing. Like, I know that you're this shrewd businessman and you're all about money, you're all about the profits and what's gonna happen, and like you're kind of, you can be scheming and maybe manipulative in order to make the business better and get more money. I just know how important money is to you. And so I took the $100,000 that you gave me and I put it in a coffee can in the office. So here. And Chuck just kind of stares at him. He's like, what? Okay. All right, Tony. Let's go with your thing for here for a second. Like, let's say that I actually was like scheming and conniving and manipulative and only care about money. Let's say that's true. It's even dumber of you that you wouldn't invest the money so at least like there'd be some interest. I mean, Tony. You're fired. Get your stuff and get out. So this morning, we're not going to do this deductively, where we slowly uncover, like, what is the meaning of this story that Jesus told? Why did he do this? Here it is. You ready? He told it so that we understand we are called, we are equipped, and we are privileged. We are called, we are equipped, and we're privileged. Okay, so here we go. We are called. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. And that is what we are. You are not that dude in the black shirt. You are not that girl that gets straight A's. You are not that super talented person who plays an instrument well. You are called a child. You are called a son, a daughter of God. Please take that in. That in the moments that you are tempted to believe that you're just some random, that you're just kind of like, I kind of just am what I am. You are called a child of God. And as children of God, this is what we are called to. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we are called, children of God, called to give all glory and worship to Him. We are called to be a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice, it can crawl off the altar. And that's what we do when we go, oh, you know what? I'm not feeling very called to this. Oh, I'm that kind of makes me nervous. That makes me insecure. And so I'm not going to go after that. I don't feel called to that. I'm going to decide what I feel called to. That's what happens when a living sacrifice crawls off the altar. It's initially, hey, here I am. And then, you're not saying and doing and calling me to the right things. And so I'm just going to go and do my own thing. Here's what we don't see in this parable that Jesus told. We don't see the boss saying, play it safe. Anybody in here, you don't even have to raise your hand, but you're with me when you're like, I like to play it safe. I am a play it safer. And all of us at some point get to that. Even those of you who are super daring, you're like, oh no, I like a challenge. There comes a point where you're like, okay. Nowhere in this did the boss say, play it safe. But it's so easy to fall into the mindset of, well, if as long as I don't fail, I succeed. And we can live that way, can't we? Where we go, all right, I may know what I'm supposed to do. I may know what I'm called to do. But the reality is, I feel more like if as long as I don't fail, then I've succeeded. But this isn't how it works in God's economy. That's not what he has called us to. Proverbs 14:4 says, without oxen, a stable stays clean. but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Oh, right? A more modern rephrasing of that, it's neat and tidy in the graveyard, but it's messy in the nursery. Where is their life? Where is their purpose? Where is their hope? Where is their future? And sometimes it gets messy, but if we give into this mindset of, no, my goal is I can't fail. As long as I don't fail, I've succeeded. And no matter what stage of life you are in, we all face this. As teenagers, you're called to make your parents proud. You're called to satisfy your teachers. You're called to make the people around you seem impressed by you. And so the goal becomes, that's what I got to do. And even if you were called to something else, the idea of like, oh, maybe God wants to do something more. Maybe God wants to do something different. Maybe God wants to bring me out of this and into this. No, because I can't control that. What was Tony trying to do, putting the money in the can? Just control it, just as long as I know. And our goal at times can be, as long as I don't fail, then I've succeeded. And that's not what God calls us to. As professionals out there, there are certain standards that you're called to meet and live by, and those can all be fine things. Until it becomes something where you go, you know what, the idea that God could ever do more, or God could ever call me to something different, or God could ever heal something that's been so wounding or broken in my heart, that idea, never, no, I just got to keep going. I have to keep forging ahead so that I don't fail, because if I don't fail, then I've succeeded. But this is the call. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The call is not don't fail, avoid failure at all costs. The call is to love the Lord with everything that you've got. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. We are called. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are called. It is no longer just about you doing your best. It's no longer about you being good enough. And let me say that to those of you who are here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You came to church because it's the churchy thing to do, or somebody invited you, or whatever it is. Super glad you're here. Keep coming. If you have put your faith in Jesus, it's no longer about being good enough. It's no longer about earning it and deserving it. It's about following the call. And this is what God has called us to. So we are called and we are equipped. Let me make this clear. And this was exciting to learn as I was studying this passage. None of the amounts that the boss gave his guys was a small amount. Okay, so these were, I mean, in some translations it says bags of gold, some translations say talents, whatever it was. One bag of gold was about the equivalent of 20 years' wages. So these guys were equipped. The boss didn't, you know, flick the guy a quarter and be like, hey, good luck, do something with that. He was like, here, I am equipping you. I'm giving you what you need to do what I'm calling you to do. All right? And so we can trust that God is not going to call us to something that he's not going to equip you for. He won't call you to something that he's not going to equip you for. Now, in our culture, there's the phrase like, God won't give you more than you can handle. Bull. God is all about giving you more than you can handle. What he will never do is give you what? More than he can handle. He will equip you for everything he calls you to do. It's when we look at it and we go like, I can't do that. God goes, I know. I'm not going to do that because I can't do that. God goes, I know. I'm not asking you to do it in your own power, in your own strength. I'm telling you, I'm calling you to it because I'm going to equip you to do it, and it's going to be miraculous. That's the only way Paul writes to the believers in Philippi and says, I can do all things through who? Christ, who gives me strength. He doesn't say, I can do all things because I've got a really good college degree. He didn't say, I can do all things because I'm talented enough. I can do all things because I'm good looking enough. I can do all things because I'm smart enough and shrewd enough and do all these things. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In this parable, Tony, the third guy, he misunderstood who God was. He misunderstood the assignment, and he misunderstood what was possible, not through his own strength, what he could control, but what God was calling him to do and what God was going to equip him to do. So we are called, we are equipped, and we are privileged to serve the Master. We are privileged. Now, for those with a heart chasing after God, yes, there is responsibility, but that's not where it stops. It's not this like, oh, I have to do this because I have to do it. Oh, well, this is just required of me if I have to. There is joy in it. There is hope. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties. It doesn't mean there won't be hard work. What we don't see is all the backstory of everything that went into, you know, when Jared and Steve doubled, you know, they bought all the equipment or they did all the things and got all this money. There were disappointments in that, I'm sure. There were struggles. There were things that were hard. But in it, it's not about, hey, look what I did. It's, I'm doing this out of my love for the one that I'm serving. We are privileged to serve the one that we are called to give all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, all of it. When did that turn into, I pray when I'm really stuck, or I seek God once I can't figure it out for myself, or you know what, I attend Sunday morning meetings, but other than that, I'm kind of just, when did loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength become, hey, let me check some things off the list, and that's it? We are privileged. We have the privilege, the honor to serve our Creator, the one who calls us son and daughter. And we have an opportunity to live that out. And a true follower of Christ is not someone who's just vaguely affiliated with God. Someone who just kind of like, oh yeah, I work there. It is relationship. It is God inviting us into that. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Do you get what he's doing? He's going, yeah, I know what you called me to do. I know what you equipped me to do. But the reason I didn't obey, the reason I didn't do it, the reason I didn't step out, the reason was you. It's because of you. And we do that in our own ways. God, if only you had made me more outgoing. God, if only you had given me more resources. God, if only you had put me in a different circumstance, in a different situation where things were easier, well, then I would have. But God, because you, and I just want to bring that to you right now, in what ways do you need to honestly take that to God and go, this is how I'm feeling. I need to confess this. God, I need to confess that I have taken what you've given me and I went, I don't trust you. So I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to do it my way because I'm not sure that you are who you promised you'll be. When we will confess that, and we'll lay it before him, he is faithful to forgive. He welcomes son and daughter. Don't forget that. He welcomes you back in. He wants us in relationship with him. I read this statement about this portion of the passage, and it was like, but I think it's important to consider it this way. Only the wicked servant blames the master. Because it reveals a heart thing. God, I think I've got it together. God, I think I have the right idea. I think the way that I'm going to do it is better than the way that you're going to do it. And honestly, I just don't trust you. That's what that heart demonstrates. So in what ways do we need to come to God and go, I'm afraid. I wonder what that meeting would have been like if Tony had gone into his boss and said, this is a lot of money. I don't know what to do with this. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. I guarantee because of the relationship between them, the boss would not have said, darn right, you better be afraid. You better not screw this up. I guarantee there would have been a relationship where he would have said, I get it. I know. And here, let's walk through this together. Verse 30, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the business context, this seems like a massive overreaction, right? It's like, sheesh. But we're not dealing with like, business. And oh, this is it's short term and it's just earth fleshly stuff. Jesus is talking about eternity. He's talking about our spiritual condition. And Jesus has talked about this before. Remember there was that whole thing, you know, all the, hey, any branch that doesn't bear fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire. That is not saying, so you better perform. You better have it all together. You better not fail. What it's addressing is a heart that says, nope, not you, God. I'm gonna provide my own calling. I'm gonna do my own thing. And I'm gonna produce what I think I should produce, and I'm gonna do what I think I am supposed to do. The wickedness of the savior, of the servant, is in his heart. It's not in his failure to produce, it's in his unwillingness to follow the call and what's been given for him to walk it out. That's what he's missed. So, as I've been talking, I'm certain there are different things flashing through your mind. There might be some like, hypothetically, you know, this might be how this applies to my life, or, oh yeah, I remember in my past. Some of you, there's things right now that you are experiencing God calling you to. Ways that you know you are called to step out in faith, not in confidence of knowing that you can handle it, but there are things that that he's calling you to that you need to rise up, not in your own strength, but in his. What will you do with what God has given you and the ways that he's provided? In the parable, he said that the gifts were given, the money was given according to his ability, given to each of them according to his ability. God has thoughtfully considered what he's doing in your life. Will you trust that? That's not always easy. That's not always for sure. Sometimes you're like, God, you sure you got this? God has thoughtfully considered what he's calling you to do. He has thoughtfully considered what he has provided for you. And he has thoughtfully considered how we're going to screw it up. And he invites us into relationship. He says, come on. But he has been thoughtful in what he's given us. And so will we respond to that? Or will we look for ways where, oh, well, I know you're calling me to that, but that's uncomfortable. Oh, I know you're calling me to that person, but I don't think they deserve it. How will you respond to what God has given you? Will it be, all right, God, I'm going to follow you out into this? Or is it, no, I got to take care of me. I know you've put these people in front of me to care for or to show your love, or but that's not comfortable for me. So I'm going to do me. Preview of coming attractions. Later, the next thing in chapter 25, Jesus compares it to sheep and goats. And he separates the sheep and the goats. Those who answered his call, who walked out faithfully what he had provided for them, and lived as a privilege to serve their Lord. And those who did their own thing. And Jesus compared it to whatever you've done for the least of these, you did it to who? Him. That's how enmeshed this is. That the ways that we live this out is in direct relationship to him. For those that don't respond to the call of God, we risk quenching the spirit. Here's the truth. You can make that nagging voice go away. You can silence that urge to do what God is calling you to do, to go where God's calling you to go, to act how God is calling you to act. You can get that to be quieter. It's not that he stops talking to you. It's not that you can make the Holy Spirit go away. But man, can we ignore it? And can we go, no, I'm doing my thing. And we can do this in all kinds of ways in the body of Christ, where Holy Spirit has given us gifts, supernatural gifts, things that go beyond your ability or what you know how to do or can learn how to do. God has given us these gifts. The Holy Spirit is indwelt in those who have put their faith in Jesus, and he's given us these gifts. When those gifts go unused, the spirit is quenched. Reaching out to the world. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not much of a traveler. Other cultures make me uncomfortable. And the food. Right? Whatever the reason is, those are really shallow reasons, but that whatever the reason, no, I'm going to quench what God may be calling me to do for whatever reason. We are called to go, whether it's to your job, to Honduras, to an estranged family member, we are called to go and make disciples. It's not if you feel like it. This is how we live out the call and what God has equipped us with because of our passion and our privilege with him. And we can quench the spirit in our personal relationship with God. There was a young guy who came to Jesus, had all that he could ever want monetarily and with stuff. And he comes to Jesus and his soul was crying out, how do I get saved? How do I have eternal life? Please tell me. This was his soul crying out. This wasn't just some curious guy. His soul, Holy Spirit had stirred up this guy's soul to go and ask this question, how do I have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, here's how. Trust me with this and come on. And the guy said, I can't. And he walked away. He was told exactly how to have what his soul longed for, and he walked away. How do we do that in our lives? You're called, you're equipped. What will you do with that call on your life? And in this parable, it says that after a long time, the master of those servants returned. Some of us, all of us have experienced this, but some of you in particular this morning, you're living in that long time. You're lit where you've been praying for stuff and you've been wanting and you've been desiring and you've even been trying to be faithful, and it's just been so long that the temptation or even the response to that could be to go to sleep, to just be like, you know what, never mind. Yeah, I'll keep going to church because whatever, but you've stopped expecting. Yeah, I'll pray because, you know, I want to teach my kids to pray, but you've stopped expecting. And what we see here is that God is saying, you got to wake up. Some of you have been sitting in church for too long, just sitting there. And you agree with what's going on, stuff that's set up here on the stage. You nod your head and you're like, oh, that was good. Oh, wow, that was really thoughtful. You know, I'm gonna consider that. Some of you, you've been calling yourself a Christian for too long. Calling yourself a Christian because you were born into a Christian home, your parents are Christian, and so it's kind of a cultural thing. You're a Christian because you're not anything else. But what is God calling you to? Some of you have been avoiding awkward divine appointments. Things that God is calling you to and saying, I want you to move here. And you're like, ah, that's so weird. I don't know. I think I'll just like, why don't I just tuck this away? Will you respond to what God is inviting you into, what he's calling you to? And will you let him have his way in your life? So would you bow your heads with me? Every person in this room is coming at this from a different place. What are the things that God is calling you to, that he's equipped you with? And I believe that this morning there are things that God is continuing to stir up. It's for some of you, it's even been maybe not just recently, but in your life, you've experienced God stirring stuff up, calling you to things, and you've been hesitating, or you've been refusing, and you've been allowing fear or insecurity or whatever it may be, doubt, to determine what you do with what God's given you. And this morning, he wants to set you free. This morning, he's inviting you again to enter into this relationship. How will you respond to what God is inviting you into? Will it ever be more than attending a church? Will it ever be more than teaching your kids to pray? And some of you right now, there is the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart, where he's saying, in all love, you know what I've called you to. You know where I'm calling you to step out. It might be specific, it might not be specific, and you're having to do it with a lot of faith. And if that's you here this morning, I'm not gonna ask you to share or tell your story or reveal any of that to anyone here. If you wanna do that later, that would be great. But I do believe we are called to stand together and to pray for one another. Because one of the lies of the enemy is, you gotta do this yourself. So as an putting an action to our intention, because I believe that there's a lot of us who we're like, well, I want to follow God. Okay. But as an putting an action to our intention, if you're here this morning and you feel it, you know that God is calling you and stirring this up in your heart to step out and to follow him, would you just stand right where you're at? Again, I'm not going to ask you to talk or tell anybody. But as a response to God, I know you're calling me. Would you just stand up right where you're at? This is the part where we get to boldly come before the throne of grace with confidence. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. But as you feel God, you know God is calling you to something more, something different. Maybe calling you to stop doing something. Just stand where you're at. And if there are people around you who are standing, would you please stand and go to them? Go and don't talk. You don't need to like hear their story or anything, and pray over them. We are going to pray the power and the presence of God over these lives right now. So just gather around the people that are around you who are standing. If you need to slide out of your seat, whatever you need to do, make sure that there are people around and just begin praying over these people. You don't need to know their story or the details, but let's pray courage. Let's pray hope. Let's pray joy. Let's pray obedience. Make sure that there's somebody around each person who's standing. And go ahead and just begin praying over them right now. If there's no one standing around you, be praying for these people. Just right now, lift them up. Lift up your voices to heaven. God, we pray courage. We pray your assurance. God, we pray your discernment. God, that supernatural hope and joy would be poured out on these people. God, that there would be a response that goes beyond religion. God, that there would be a response to you. Holy Spirit, come and move. Holy Spirit, stir it up. Come and fill this place. Anoint these people. Anoint our lives. God, that your children would hear your voice, that we would know you, we would receive you. Come and have your way, God. Move in power in the ways that we've limited you, in the ways that we have played it safe. God, set us free. Lord God, we come to you and we invite your presence to come. And God, I'm so thankful. We are so thankful that you're not just in this room, that you're going to go with us. So let your spirit fall, that we would come alive, that we would wake up, that you would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. In God's word, when Jesus and his disciples took communion, one of the things that Jesus said was, "Do this in remembrance of me." What happens when we forget that it's about Jesus? We start doing things under our own power. We start holding on to this real tight. When we forget it's Jesus, when we forget it's about his power and presence in our lives, we start coming up with our own strategies for, well, what should I do with this? So as we take communion, and if you're gonna serve communion, you can go ahead and head to the back. As we take communion this morning, that we would remember it's not about our control. It's about putting our faith and our trust in the one who has the purpose, who has the plan. So we're going to take, as the cup and the bread are passed out, go ahead and hang on to it, and we'll take it together in just a minute.